A millionaire. Hi, it's Mark Franklin, practice leader of Career Cycles, a career management social enterprise. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Three inspiring career stories today on Career Buzz. Michael Gustar was a probationary officer until he went back to college to study volunteer management. He got a job at the Humane Society, and then his career, as he says, went to the dogs. Now, as the manager of agency and volunteer resources at Volunteer Hamilton, he'll share stories of how he helps thousands of people connect to meaningful volunteer opportunities. Heather McDonald is a founding member of the Toronto Cyclists Union. She now chairs the board of directors as a volunteer director. Heather has a master's degree in occupational therapy, and her day job is in the trauma and neurosurgery department at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. But first, when Sean Kelly retired at age 47 after 30 years working at Stelco, he ramped up his own volunteer activities and now advocates and presents on the value of volunteering to develop your career. Sean says volunteer opportunities can transform your resume from blah to amazing. He's here with me in studio to share insights from his forthcoming book, Volunteer to Be a Millionaire. Sean Kelly, welcome to Career Buzz.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
So thanks for joining us here. What are you doing with your time these days, and what do you like about it?
Well, in the present now, professionally, what we're doing is we're starting a business based on what we've done with the volunteer book to help youth come forward with their life. The book points out about 10 different spots in your life where volunteering can actually bring you from nothing into a high profession, whatever your choice is, and you have the opportunity through volunteering to experience these things at a very low cost to you, as opposed to the cost of university, which can run into tens of thousands of dollars, or college, which possibly costs maybe $10,000.
Right on. So advocating the idea of volunteering as a kind of alternative or enhancement of your education.
It can be an alternative or an enhancement, exactly what it is, because it can give you practical experiences. One thing that education doesn't always deliver, and sometimes they have co-op courses where you can go out and actually practice it, but that's not always the case. Where if you go out and volunteering, you do learn the theory by people that are experienced teaching you, and right when you do learn, you get the opportunity to practice it. And there's no better way of learning I can find than to practice what you learned at that moment.
Right on. Just-in-time learning.
Yes, exactly.
And now, how are you spending your time? You're writing, you're presenting, you're advocating. What do you do with your time these days?
Well, what I just did not recently is I went to the Children's Aid Society in Hamilton, and I said to him, listen, you know, I'm adopted through the agency in 1959, and I said to him, I want to do more, as well as my wife came up with a situation where she found some families that were in need at Christmas time, and we can only give to one family. There's only so much money we have to give away as well. So at Christmas time, we buy gifts for their family because the mother has four children and her husband just died of cancer that year. So we gave gifts for the kids because the mother just couldn't afford it. We wanted to do more. When we got a letter back from the one child saying, thank you for putting a smile on my mother's face, it touched the heart and we really bought into the whole scenario. So I wanted to do more. What can I do more? There's tons of families going without. So we came up with an idea of fundraising for them. Now the question is what? Well, through my volunteering, I've managed to raise my brand of who I am as a person into a very high level that people want to move me forward. I found out what I'm passionate about. And when you speak what you want to do with passion, people buy in. So with this buy-in of people and with my integrity coming up and people realizing I have true goals in life and I really have something I want to do, I get invited to places like such as next week. I'm on Monday, I'm heading down to Dallas. I have the opportunity to have dinner with Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple.
Nice.
Eric Trump, the son of Donald Trump, and Bret Michaels, who is the Celebrity Apprentice, the front man for the band rock band Poison, and he had his own reality show as well. I will be approaching Bret Michaels on behalf of the Children's Aid Society to bring him back to Hamilton to put on a fundraiser so that we can raise a lot of money for Hamilton so no kids go without a Christmas in Hamilton.
Right on. So you're deeply involved now, and you've picked a cause, you've picked a focus for your volunteer efforts and activities, and that sounds like a key thing. Let's just step back and figure out how you got here. I said in the intro, Sean, that you'd worked at Stelco for 30 years,
yeah,
starting at age 17.
Yes.
So take us back in time a little bit. What brought you, first of all, into Stelco at age 17?
I graduated out of high school at 17, and I remember always being told, you can do anything you want, you can be anything you want. And it always left me with the question of how. So for 30 years of my life, I was left with that question of how, because I was at Stelco, and basically when you got there, you were there. The reason I went there is I got a letter about 6 months after applying there, unexpected. And when I got the letter, my father seen the headline on the letter, Stelco, and he had worked there for many years, and he says, oh, you're going to be a tradesman, you're going to be a rigger. Riggers are the king of Stelco, you have to go. At 17 years of age, you tend to listen to your father.
Yes.
So I went, and next thing I know, and mortgage, kids, and you can't turn around and leave. You're sort of filled, locked in, and I was never really happy there. Never really enjoyed the place that much. It was okay when we were young, a lot of young guys partying and carrying on. But the reality is when reality did set in, it was not a place I desired to be. So at 30 years, I got out. The first chance I had, I was gone. My wife
and was that an early retirement that you took, or was there some sort of arrangement that Stelco made?
A little bit of both. We had the option at 30 years and retiring, but at the same time, Stelco was in bankruptcy protection trying to downsize, so they did make us an offer to leave. And it was basically one of those offers I couldn't refuse.
Yes.
So I left, and at 47 years of age, what do I do?
It's just amazing. I think listeners would be surprised to hear a retirement at 47. I mean, that's so young.
Yeah.
And yet you had been there for 30 years.
Exactly.
Was there a lead up to that? Was there, you know, was it sudden because of things that were happening in business conditions? Or had there been a lead up and you kind of knew this was happening and then you started to think, gee, this is coming up in 12 months or 18 months. What am I going to do? How am I going to live my life at 47? Quite young.
Well, what happened was, prior to the retirement date, I've been looking at, in rough numbers, where I could retire on the first opportunity, and I came up with sometime in October. This is on my own numbers without the company. Perfect numbers.
Yes.
And in 06, they offered us the early retirement bonus too as well, but I did not qualify. I knew I would not qualify at that point in time because you had to have the numbers in right then, and I didn't. I knew in 2006 I couldn't possibly have them. I had said at the time, if it ever comes around again, I will go, not expecting it to. And I'm sure a lot of people said it, not expecting it to as well, but I was hoping it would. It turns out about 8 months later, they offered it. I went in, I checked my numbers because I knew I was close. It turned out I had 5 months to spare. So I jumped. I was gone. First chance I had, I was gone.
Five months to spare, meaning they said that there's some kind of magic number of the number of months or years you'd worked and your age and something like that, formula.
Because I thought it was October.
Yeah.
The actual date I could retire was in April. So there was 5 months difference there. That's why I say I had 5 months to spare from what my numbers were. I had to have my 30 years in by, I think it was July 1st.
And did you have a plan? Like, it came around, and then you said, okay, I'm going to jump on it. So you had your decision kind of pre-made when the moment came up. But then the question would be, how am I going to spend my time after this? If I have a pension, there's a monthly amount of money coming in. What was that kind of conversation with yourself as you were thinking, what do I do next?
The question of what do I do next didn't really come up. My wife had it all planned out for me. She was going to have meals cooked and a house cleaned, and basically I was going to be her house husband. Well, I don't think that worked out too well. I'm not the house cleaner that she thought I could be. And I'm sitting around and getting kind of bored. You do need the ability to go out and do things and feel good about yourself and having a sense of accomplishment, and that was lacking. We do need that as human beings, and that was totally lacking. That's one thing volunteering does give you. No matter where you are in life, there will be a sense of accomplishment. So it's self-esteem that builds from it. So while I'm sitting there watching the news one night on the TV, the mayor came on and started talking about this organization called Volunteer Hamilton. I'd never heard of it ever in my life. And unfortunately for me, I hadn't heard of it earlier, but I'm glad I did hear it when I did. And there's actually about 27 different of these organizations throughout Ontario. There's Volunteer Toronto, Volunteer Halton, Volunteer Mississauga.
Yes, these are kind of hubs of volunteer activity.
Yes.
People interested in finding volunteer opportunities can connect up. And we're going to hear from Michael Gustar, who works there, in just a moment.
Yeah, he's the authority. He's the person that actually my contact person within Volunteer Hamilton and has given me the opportunity to go out and explore things and try things on my own. And he's a great person, and I think most people at the volunteer centers would be.
So this was your connection then into the world of volunteering when you were sort of waiting, looking around for things to do, and you connected up with Volunteer Hamilton.
Exactly. When I was going to Volunteer Hamilton to talk to Michael, the idea was to go into high school and talk to the children about the value of volunteering. well, I could see the value of giving back to your community and helping out others less fortunate and that idea. But I'm going, well, what's in it for the kids? As a speaker, we always go, what's in it for me? So that's what you have to deliver your audience, of what's in it for them. And I'm trying to think of what's in it for the kids, not knowing, having any idea about what I was about to face. So I just went into it with an open mind and started presenting to the children. Then I realized these 10 or more things that a person can get, such as experience, job experience. I explained to them, if they've ever gone looking for a job, how do they get experience if they can't get the job in the first place? And most job wanted ads will state experience preferred, only experience need apply. And you're kind of caught in that catch-22. You can't get the job to get the experience, and you need the experience to get the job.
Right, so there's volunteer is an answer to that question.
Yeah, and as well as I was talking to him, you know, what about your resume? What does it look like? And most of them will have a resume that looks maybe half a page because they haven't had the opportunity to experience much in life. They're still young. They're 15, 16 years of age. So I tell them to go out and volunteer and make sure when they go out and volunteer that they get the letters of reference from the volunteer coordinator so that they can take that forward. And even if you do have a job and you want to get a promotion, these letters of reference are great in your career that you're in right now. They can help boost your career up.
So we've got three things so far, and I'm gonna ask you for more of them, but three things you get from volunteering if you're a high school student: experience, improved resume, letters of reference, and lots more. We do have a conversation here with Michael Gustar, and he's actually the manager of agency and volunteer resources at Volunteer Hamilton, and I know you know him. And I had a conversation with him that I'd like listeners to hear about, to hear his perspective, first of all, on his career and how he ended up being a volunteer coordinator at Volunteer Hamilton, and then the question of how to, what's in it for people, how to move forward, not just for high school students, but for all people. How do you really get the most out of volunteer opportunities, and how do you use volunteer opportunities as a means for career development? So here's Michael Gustar, Volunteer Hamilton.
Happy to be here, Mark. Thank you.
So you work over at Volunteer Hamilton. What do you like about your job and your career these days?
Well, it's easy for me to say that I have maybe the best job ever. As manager of agency and volunteer resources in a volunteer center, I get to work with two of my passions. One is dedicated people, and the other is dedicated organizations that are interested in developing and building their community. I help people get engaged and connected as volunteers with meaningful volunteer opportunities, and I help organizations develop their volunteer programs so that they can facilitate the involvement of these people to the betterment of the community at large.
So that's great. I want to talk to you a bit more about what you do. But I wonder if you could tell us, what sort of skills and strengths do you draw on to be successful in your job?
Well, I suppose a large part of it, I mean, there's the mechanical side in terms of volunteer management. It is a profession. It's something that I went to school for. I graduated from Mohawk College in 2000 and, when was it, 2004, three or four, I think, with a volunteer management certificate. So there is a definite mechanical process to it. It's very much like human resources in dealing with people and being them and supervise and appreciate them as well. But I think a key thing is having an affinity for people in general, liking people basically, maybe seeing the better side and getting a lot of satisfaction out of the enabling role of helping people be the best that they can be. Personally, I draw a lot of satisfaction out of that, and I think that also plays a bit to my skill set as well.
Great. So what happened that brought you here to this point in your career? You mentioned doing this program at Mohawk College, finishing in 2004. What did you do, and what were some turning points in your career that brought you to this?
Well, I guess it's a little bit round the way. I was a probation officer here in Hamilton for almost 30 years, and I retired in 2001, and it's at that point that I went back to college at Mohawk College. But while I was engaged as a probation officer, among my other duties, I was involved with our volunteer programs. As a matter of fact, I was in on the very beginning of the development here in Hamilton in 1975. So I've been working with volunteers in a professional way for almost 40 years now, and I like it better every day. So after probation, I took a retirement in 2001. I went to Mohawk College. I got very lucky when I graduated. The local SPCA here was looking for a volunteer coordinator, and I applied and was able to get the job. So for 5 years, I went literally to the dogs for a while and had a barking career working with the local SPCA as a volunteer coordinator. A great position.
And SPCA, for listeners, is the Humane Society.
Yeah, Humane Society. Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, I guess would be the correct term. But yeah, so it was really great in terms of getting volunteers to work there and doing the very many programs that they have at the SPCA.
And
it was in the summer of 2007 that I came about the opportunity to move to volunteer Hamilton. And I jumped at the chance. As much as I enjoyed working at the SPCA, I loved it there. I still visit there and volunteer from time to time. But working with Volunteer Hamilton gave me the opportunity of taking it to another level, working with many organizations across the city. We work with over 170 different nonprofit charitable organizations in the city, all of them very different in what they do, but they all engage volunteers. And then on the other hand, I'm able to work with individuals from across the city, from youth groups to newcomers to adults to seniors to employee volunteering groups, family volunteering, all these various things of people who are very interested and engaged in their community. So it was a great fit.
And how did you get into being a probation officer? That's something that some listeners might be interested in. You didn't mention how that came about. What happened that brought you into that line of work at the beginning?
Well, you know, I don't have a really serious story about that. It was really kind of almost accidental that I started in probation. And I make a point, it's so different than how it is for young people today in terms of thinking about and getting into a career. It can be such a big challenge to try and do that now, and particularly in probation service now. It's very difficult. But back in the 70s, after I graduated from university, I needed a job like most others do, and I was working in private business. I had a friend who worked in corrections with the Ministry of Correctional Services and knew that they were hiring at this particular agency near where I lived. And literally he suggested, why don't you go down and talk to the lady? And it happened to be a lady who I was going to talk to back then. And I did exactly that. I went down and talked to the lady, and that became an almost 30-year career.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So again, for many people, what is true back then and what is true today is when you do talk to your friends and your family and your contacts about what you're wanting, sometimes amazing things happen that can turn out for the best. So that, I think, is true about today as much as it was when you first got your job.
Absolutely. It's one of the things where volunteering can be a huge assist on the career path. Volunteering can help you hone skills, learn new skills, practice some skills that you have learned, and get engaged. It can help you in networking and finding out where the opportunities lay. And volunteering can also help you know where you don't want to go. For example, we had a student here a couple of years ago at Volunteer Hamilton who really wanted to be a veterinarian, and she went and volunteered in an animal hospital and very quickly found out that there's no way that she's ever going to be a veterinarian. And the reason was that she's so passionate and loves animals so much that she just couldn't stand being around the pain aspect of it all the time.
Yes.
So she had to go into another route. She went into social services and started working with the human animal, of course.
That's a great story, Michael. Thanks for telling us that. We're talking to Michael Gustar here. He's the manager, agency and volunteer resources at Volunteer Hamilton. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz 89.5 FM in Toronto and worldwide at CIUT.FM. So, Michael, I want to pick up on what you just shared with that story about somebody who found some actual career insight from volunteering. Let's talk about volunteering for career development. And I don't know that many people think about volunteering as a great way to build skills or to check new careers. What should listeners know about setting up a volunteer opportunity or finding a good opportunity that's a good fit for them so that they can do what they want to do from a career development perspective?
Well, when you talk about the good fit, you're really getting to the meat of the matter there. Very often people will volunteer because they have a vague notion of wanting to enhance their resume, or they may want to fill their time, or they just feel like it would be a good idea, or somebody told them so. But we are very strong on the notion that a volunteer engagement is like a career in itself, and it should be planned as such. You should really look inside yourself and discover your own passions. What gifts do you have? What talents do you have that you would like to share? What kind of things that you would like to learn? If you want to build your resume, in what specific way? What are the immediate goals that you have? And when you have this figured out, that's when you go out into the community to a place like Volunteer Hamilton and look at our online database of volunteer opportunities. That's when you go out and you look at the community in terms of how you can engage what you want to do with the community out there, not the other way around.
Right. So it's about being proactive. I think a lot of people in their own careers could be more proactive and, you know, go after what they want. And it sounds like volunteer opportunities in particular, it's worth it to be proactive. Now, if people are trying to say to themselves, okay, that's a good idea, I want to be proactive, but what kind of volunteer opportunities are out there so that if somebody listening is trying to differentiate between all these opportunities and how they might fit, how do they start to think about or see some of the broad range of volunteer opportunities that are out there?
Well, after having done that reflective piece of looking inside themselves and getting a good notion of what it is they're trying to accomplish, what are their personal goals, then it's a matter of trying to match that, make the perfect match out in the community. So it's looking at opportunities through a database like Volunteer Hamilton. It could be using other resources like newspapers or family friends or guidance teachers in high schools, for example. There are all kinds of people who are looking to volunteer engagement in terms of helping their career, helping their life along, whether your student's trying to get 40 hours to graduate or beyond that, or whether you're someone who's been downsized from a particular organization that maybe has closed or something like that, and you're looking to get back into the workforce. You might be taking courses in a local business college, for example, and now what you want to do is gain some experience in the new field that you're looking for. Again, volunteering can help facilitate all of that. At Volunteer Hamilton, we tend to look at our community, we look at our resources out there as opportunities to be shared, opportunities to be plucked up, rather than problems that need to be solved. It's very important that you go out there and think about how you can engage yourself in the community and create new opportunities, create new situations for yourself.
So back to the idea of these different volunteer opportunities, and it was a good summary of the kinds of people who might access volunteer opportunities. You gave us one example before of the working in the veterinary hospital. That was really interesting from the perspective of somebody checking out working with animals. Can you give us another example? Let's say somebody is trying to gain some leadership skills. You know, a common thing, people are individual contributor in an organization and they'd like to become a supervisor or a manager and they want to get some sort of leadership experience or skills. What kind of volunteer opportunity might be a fit for that?
Very often you look at volunteerism and you think of set things to do. You know, maybe you're painting a wall or walking horses around, or you have a particular task that you're doing. But it's important to look at volunteerism as a land of opportunities, particularly around leadership. Small organizations and many nonprofit organizations are looking for people to help them with their own governance. So you can join a board, for example, and be involved in the actual operation of an organization. You can take on certain projects, you know, they may be time-sensitive projects that you could do and be the leader of a committee to achieve a certain goal. All of these things are giving you practice in people management, in resources management, and in attaining goals, working as a team player, and having the satisfaction of completing a project. And again, when you're looking at career sort, all of that can go into your resume in terms of very practical and hands-on experience.
Now, you mentioned one idea of being on a board. Now, that's something I'm personally familiar with. I've actually been on two boards and have found it to be a wonderful experience to network, to build these leadership skills that we're talking about. And as I've discovered, many people think that they need a lot more skills, experience, or background to be on a board, to make decisions, to be part of governance. From your perspective, what do people need if they want to get that leadership experience but they don't have it yet? Is that doable or is that not doable?
Well, you're right when you say that many organizations look for specific skill sets when they're looking for board members. That's quite true, and that makes sense for any given organization. But, you know, common sense and life experience, these are also very worthwhile working skills. So they may look for a lawyer, or they may look for an accountant, for example, as a board member, but they also want people who can think, people who are in tune with their community, and people who can advise the organization in terms of what's the best direction for them to take. And sometimes that doesn't necessarily mean a specific professional skill. It means a lot about commitment. It means a lot. It talks a lot about awareness and just being able to, you know, to bring down your way of looking at the world and thinking about things and helping an organization move forward that way. For example, off the top, as many boards these days are looking for youth members on their boards. Again, they want to get the youth experience, the youth perspective. So a youth may not have, you know, a whole list of particular skills or diplomas or other kinds of achievements that they might have done in life in view of their age, but they do have a great perspective on what's happening in the world, and that's very valuable to a board and to an organization as well.
Absolutely. That thing you said about commitment, I can tell you from having been on the board of the Toronto Cyclists Union, a nonprofit in Toronto, for the past 3 years. The commitment factor, you can't underestimate how valuable that is and how much boards appreciate your commitment, even if you're not bringing that much work experience. That commitment and the youth perspective, for example, can be really important.
Yeah. If you're looking to, in terms of a career search, or if you're looking to enhance a career that you might already be in, a prospective employer, or even your own employer, if you're already working in an organization, if they're looking at you from the point of view that you're participating at this level on the board of a local organization, they see you in a different light now. They see you as someone who's highly skilled, highly committed, a lot of integrity and honesty and responsibility. These are things that they're looking at in terms of hiring someone outright or promoting someone they already have in place. So, again, the experience itself is worthwhile, but it also pays off for the volunteer.
Right on. We're talking to Michael Gustar. He's the manager of Agency and Volunteer Resources at Volunteer Hamilton. Michael, with just a couple of minutes left to go in the interview, I wonder if you can just say a little bit about people in an organization. If somebody's listening and they actually work for an organization now, whether it's a for-profit or not-for-profit, or they're an organizational leader and a manager thinking about trying to connect volunteer opportunities, how do you think about it from that perspective? If I'm an individual contributor, I want my organization to support volunteerism, how do I make that happen?
Well, I would suggest that they certainly go to a local volunteer center. Most of the larger communities in Ontario have a volunteer center. There are 26 across the province. And most of them have programs that can assist in corporate volunteering, it's sometimes called, or employee-supported volunteering. There are many names for it, but the idea is that either as individuals or as groups of employees, you can go out and engage the community in volunteer work. Now, obviously, this is a great benefit to the community and to the organization you're working for, but it's a great benefit for you, the employee, for the reasons I've just discussed. It gives you new skills and lets you practice managerial skills, for example. But for the company, for your employer as well, too, it heightens their corporate image in the community and know that they're an organization that cares about the community that they live and work in. So
yes,
it has a win-win-win situation when you look at employee volunteering.
Great. And finally, Michael, from your own personal experience now, you've been a probation officer, you went back to school after you retired, you did the volunteer management program, you've had a few jobs in that realm. What can you tell listeners about what you've personally learned about making career and life choices?
Well, the social service area in general, in my mind, is a very nice place to work. You won't make the most money when you're working in social services, or certainly not in the nonprofit sector, but you can gain an awful lot of great action. And to me, and I think to a lot of people, it's worth a lot of dollars to get up in the morning and really enjoy going to work and being passionate about what you do. So I think that's a very important aspect of it, that it's something that's just very fulfilling.
That's great advice, Michael. Thank you. If people want to find out more about Volunteer Hamilton, how do they do that?
Our website is www.volunteerhamilton.on.ca, or the easy way is just Google Volunteer Hamilton. And as I said, we are the go-to people here in Hamilton as far as volunteer engagement is concerned. But for people in other cities like Volunteer Toronto, for example, and Kitchener-Waterloo, Guelph, all of these different centers have a volunteer center as well, and they all do wonderful work.
That's great. Michael Gustar, thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was my interview with Michael Gustar. Talking about volunteer opportunities for career development, you're listening to Career Buzz here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with Sean Kelly and Heather McDonald.
OMG.
What?
Check out the back of my debit card. I have the exchange logo.
What logo?
The exchange logo. That means no more ATM fees. I'm in the money.
I want to be in the money.
Well, check the back, Jack.
Check the back of your debit card for the exchange logo. The exchange is your ticket to no-fee withdrawals, deposits, pin changes, and more at over 2,300 ATMs across Canada. Get the ATM locator app at keepyourchange.ca. Keep your change. Use the exchange.
From the roots up. CIUT 89.5 FM. Broadcasting live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. From Hart House, University of Toronto.
And we're back at Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. Before continuing our conversation about volunteering for career development, I want to let listeners know about a weekly free teleworkshop, Unearth Career Excitement. It's Thursdays, tomorrow and every Thursday. Check careercycles.com to register. We've been talking about volunteering for career development. I have Sean Kelly here in the studio. He's been involved with Volunteer Hamilton and also author of the forthcoming book, Volunteer to Be a Millionaire. We're going to be joined in a moment here by Heather McDonald, also a volunteer a board member and also chair of a board. She's a founding member of the Toronto Cyclists Union and now chairs the board of directors as a volunteer. She also co-developed the Newcomer Cycling Outreach Program with CultureLink Settlement Services. Her day job, Heather, is an occupational therapist in the Trauma and Neurosurgery Department at St. Michael's Hospital. Heather McDonald, welcome to Career Buzz.
Thanks, Mark.
So what do you like about your volunteer gig at the Toronto Cyclists Union?
One of the things I love about my volunteer work with the Toronto Cyclists Union is that I'm able to use skills that are not always practiced in a day-to-day in my work. And I found that on a board especially, you get a great diversity of opinion and a lot of ability to work with a number of people from different backgrounds and experiences. And I found that that's really challenged my thinking and pushed my development of a lot of skills that I would not have otherwise been able to use or experience in a group setting.
So that's great. You just mentioned skills or strengths that you draw on or you've developed. And I think that's one of the themes we've been hearing today on the show. Could you name some of them or give some examples of skills or strengths that you've really learned or developed as a volunteer that you might not have gotten in your day job?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that right from concrete specific skills to more softer skills, I've had an opportunity to use and try out. 5 years ago when I started working on the Toronto Cyclists Union, if you had talked to me about at the back end of a website, I would have thought that you were talking about somebody's behind. And
yes.
So I've gone from just being totally oblivious to any kind of IT stuff to being able to do some simple coding, getting newsletters out, going in to do some very basic HTML stuff in the backside of a website. So from skills like that, that I would be able to apply to a number of things in the future, to more skills around negotiation, managing some staff people, hiring, strategic planning and growth of an organization, as well as financial management of an organization. Those are all things that I might have an opportunity here and there to use in my role. However, it's not the focus of my day-to-day job, so I've really enjoyed being able to try some of those things out.
So that's great. Lots of both hard skills and soft skills that you're saying that you get from a volunteer opportunity. How did this opportunity arise for you? What was the thing that led you into it? Listeners might think, like, wow, being on a board is a really complicated thing, or it's really hard to do. What did you do, and what advice do you have for listeners about that?
Yeah, sometimes I've asked myself the same question, how I got to the point of being the board chair of an organization. And I guess the biggest thing for me was I just was open to some possibilities. At the time that I started becoming involved, I was active in a group in the East End of Toronto, working at cycling advocacy within our neighborhood. And through that, I learned of an organization that became the Toronto Cyclist Union that was getting up and running. And I had thought I was just going to go and help coordinate some social events. And I just kept being open to more and more possibilities and thought, you know, I like being able to try these skills out, and I like the role that I'm having in this organization, and I really could see myself becoming a future leader in here. So I just kept saying yes to opportunities as they arose, and next thing you know, a couple years later, I found myself being the chair of the board, and it's just been a wonderful experience.
If listeners are interested in being on a board themselves, now from your experience, what advice can you give them about getting started?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think that a lot of boards operate differently from one to the next, but there's no shortage of not-for-profits in Toronto looking for skilled board members. And prior board experience is not always a prerequisite, because there's a lot of learning and mentorship that can happen within the role. I think that you know, it'd be helpful to talk to some people who've sat on a board before, who might be able to tell you some of the questions that you want to ask as a potential board member, about how often the meetings are, what kind of role they play. Various boards have very different models, so some organizations operate with a much more hands-on working board where you get involved in the day-to-day aspects of things, and other organizations operate with more of a oversight board where you're doing a lot of planning for the future of an organization. And some are a mix of the two. So I think it really, you have to ask yourself some questions about what you're looking for, what skills you'd like to contribute. And I think the really biggest thing is that you have to believe in the work that the organization does. You have to have a passion for it, because really that's what's going to sustain you throughout your term with the organization.
Right on. We're talking to Heather McDonald here. She's a chair of the board of the Toronto Cyclists Union. I'm also here with Sean Kelly, who's been deeply involved in volunteering in Hamilton. Sean, you were just thinking about something that Heather had said.
Yeah, Heather. Sean Kelly here. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
I listened to you just a few minutes ago. You were mentioning about, you know, you said yes to opportunities, and that's how you moved forward and how you developed your leadership skills, by not saying no. Say yes. And one of the things I do emphasize when I'm talking to people is, when an opportunity presents itself, don't judge the opportunity. Say yes. You can judge it once you're doing it. If you close doors, they're hard to open. But if you go through the door, you can leave it and still leave it partially open without burning bridges behind you. So the key, I think, what you mentioned earlier was the saying of yes, and that's one of the key things I'd like to follow up on with what you were saying there earlier, is that yes opens doors for you. No closes them. Say yes every chance you get. Don't judge the opportunity. Just do it.
And let's look at the balance of the volunteer activities. You say yes, and Heather, maybe you can fill us in on the requirements of some of these volunteer gigs. I know you've been deeply involved in the Toronto Cyclists Union, and yet you have a day job where you work regular hours. What can you say about the balance between doing a volunteer gig and trying to keep a day job and juggling the two?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because it's something that I found myself just thinking about quite a bit. And I find, especially for women who are kind of child-raising age, that there's a lot of value placed on contributing to one's community and being involved in community, but there's also, over the last number of years, a trend towards families that have two adults in the workplace. And so sometimes balancing all the multiple competing demands and the things that you want to achieve in your life can be kind of challenging. And I do notice that in our board setting, that we do have fewer women sitting on our board than men. And I at times wonder if this is a function just of the multiple competing demands on women, both trying to make a go of it in the workplace and raising a family, and the number of pressures that go with that. So I think it is important to know one's limits and to know where your priorities are at the current time. And my board term is ending very soon, and I am really looking forward to taking a break and looking back and saying, where can my energy be best used? And I think that's what it really comes down to, is looking how much time you have, how much energy you have, and where would be the best fit for that. Because there's places where even giving 1 or 2 hours a month of very strategic specific skills can make a big difference within an organization. So a function of time, it can, you know, the time you have available to an organization is really valuable, and it doesn't always need to be a huge number of hours to make a big difference.
Yeah, that's really important, especially for youth, as we were talking about earlier, that they have those hours, and that commitment is really valuable to organizations and boards. Now, Heather, you also have this this day job. You work at the hospital. Can you say a little bit about the use and the value or recognition of the skills that one develops in a volunteer opportunity back in the workplace? Maybe in general, if you can talk about it, or something specific that relates to your workplace.
Sure. I think the biggest thing for me is it just gives me a real opportunity to connect with other people within my workplace. I might have other people that might challenge me on my thinking about what it is that we do as the Toronto Cyclist Union, because I work with such a diverse group of folks at St. Michael's Hospital, number of people commuting in from other areas outside the city and people who live downtown. And so my volunteer work is often a starting point for conversations with folks that I work with, but it's also something that I've been able to just share some data and personal experiences with people who are here doing research at St. Michael's Hospital around safety and improving mobility for older adults. And so it's just really interesting for me when I find opportunities to where my volunteer work and my day-to-day work cross-sect. There's not a whole lot of opportunity for that because I do work as a clinician doing basically bedside care here. So my volunteer work is quite different, but every once in a while there's an opportunity where they intersect, and it's great to be able to do that.
Right, and your job as an occupational therapist, in case listeners are interested in that one, what can you say about that career choice for you and how you've enjoyed it?
Yeah, occupational therapy is a really interesting career because the opportunities for working are very much as varied as a profession such as nursing, where you could work in a hospital or outside of a hospital. I started my career working for home care, which I absolutely loved. I got to see a number of people in their home environment, working mostly with older adults with mental health issues in the St. Jamestown and Regent Park neighborhoods. And really, that's what, in that role and in that work, that's how I really came to love Toronto, because I met so many different people from all over the world and was able to connect with them at a time when they were feeling, a particular need. So that's how I started my career, and then I transitioned to working in the hospital a couple years ago. Currently, I'm working in the trauma and neurosurgery department. I do a lot of assessment of cognition and perception after neurological injury. So it's a very rewarding career. I'm often challenged in my thinking, in my reasoning, and especially here at St. Michael's Hospital, really challenged in my ability to provide equitable and just care for a number of people from marginalized communities.
What would you say is the job outlook for occupational therapists from your perspective?
The job outlook for occupational therapists, especially given the movement towards keeping older adults living safely and independently as long as possible, is quite good in Ontario. There's a number of funding changes that are happening at the provincial level that, as a profession, we're really keeping an eye on to make sure that the role and the value that we lend as occupational therapists is seen. But it is, in general, quite good given the movement and the trends in healthcare towards providing care in a community-based model.
Great. And finally, Heather, what have you learned about making good career and life choices from your experiences working at the hospital and occupational therapy and volunteering? What can you say to listeners about what you've personally learned?
Yeah, I think that I still have some learning left to do because I am still young and starting out my career and looking at where some opportunities might lie. But one of the things that I've really learned is that as much as my day-to-day job is really great, that if there are things that I'm not getting in my day-to-day job, there's so many other opportunities to get that. And it is very important to love the work that you do, given how many hours you spend there. But there's a lot of other opportunities in one's community for recognition or using skills or getting to know other people through volunteering. And I think having a healthy mix of those two and being able to use skills both for monetary gain and for just the gain that comes from contributing to the community is a great mix.
That's great advice. And finally, you and I have actually shared some time on the board of the Toronto Cyclists Union. If listeners are cyclists or they care about safe streets, what's one or two things you can say to listeners about the bike union and why they might want to join?
Yeah, that's, I think that even if you're not a cyclist, that safer streets and contributing towards cycling, a more cycling-friendly city, is better for all Torontonians. The most livable cities in the world tend to be the ones that are the most cyclable. And even if you have older adults that are trying to get around in the city of Toronto, traffic calming and improving the streetscape is better for everybody and everybody's safe mobility throughout the city. So if you're interested in learning more about the Toronto Cyclist Union, you're more than welcome to visit bikeunion.to. And there's lots of information there about how you can get involved. One of the best ways to get involved is to join as a member that supports our advocacy at City Hall. And then there's wonderful opportunities for people to get involved at their neighborhood level. We have groups working in their specific wards on local concerns of cyclists and those who are interested in safer streets throughout the city.
And we should say there's tons of volunteer opportunities. This being a show focused on volunteering, the Bike Union has hundreds of people who have been volunteering and building skills and learning.
It's really the volunteers that have been the cogs of our organization that have got it to where it is today. We're almost a 2,500 member organization, and that's mostly been built. We have excellent staff, but they can only do so much. That has mostly been built by volunteers, and it's really amazing to see how far we've come with a volunteer collective labor. So there's so many different areas to use volunteers within our organization. If you'd like to do quieter volunteer work, where you're, if you're more interested in graphic design or IT, there's lots of opportunity there. If you're more interested in doing outreach, getting to know people on through street outreach events, there's a great team of really dynamic and fun-loving individuals that are working at that. And then if you're a strategic planner that loves to get people together in your neighborhood and looking at making your neighborhood better, there's opportunity for meeting with your ward group. So there's endless volunteer opportunities with the Toronto Cyclist Union if folks are interested.
That's great. Heather McDonald, thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz today.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
We've been talking to Heather McDonald. She's chair of the board of directors of the Toronto Cyclist Union, about her career, her volunteer opportunities, and volunteer opportunities for listeners with the Bike Union at bikeunion.to. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz on CIUT 89.5 FM and worldwide at CIUT.fm. I'm here with Sean Kelly. We're going to wrap up with a little bit of a conversation about all the benefits of volunteering and his forthcoming book, Volunteer to Be a Millionaire. And if listeners have some experiences in your own personal life about volunteering and maybe how it worked out for you, what skills you developed, how it potentially influenced your career, please do give us a call and we'll get your comments or questions on the air. The number to call is 416-946-7000, 416-946-7000, or you can email me at mark with a K at careercycles.com and we'll put you on the air. So Sean Kelly, we just had a conversation with Heather there about her personal volunteer experience. What are your reflections and thoughts on what we just heard from Heather?
Well, she mentioned a few things about the she gained some skills there on the computers that she never had before and possibly struggled with. From that, not only did she gain the skills, but you know that she gained some self-esteem. She felt better about knowing these things and that she wouldn't be ignorant in any conversations revolving around them. So there's two key things there. Is one is she just gained a lot of knowledge and the self-esteem that goes with it. So just by doing one thing, she gained two important aspects in her life.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I know also from personally volunteering on two boards, all these leadership skills that so many organizations want. You talked earlier about resumes and building your resumes. It is really an amazing way to build some skills that you might just not have got anywhere else into your story.
Yeah, well, you talk about the skill sets that are needed. In basic life, leadership skills is you're going to require it no matter what you do, even if just as a parent. You need leadership skills to lead a child. So if you can learn from others, there is a tremendous opportunity there, because it's said that a smart man or a wise man will learn from his mistakes, but a genius learns from others' mistakes. So there's your opportunity right there to go out and learn from what other people do right and what they do wrong, rather than making the mistake yourself. It could be costly. It could be time-using. So what do you do with it? Find out what they did wrong. Talk to them. Most people want to share their life experiences with others. Take that opportunity, and you can shorten your learning curve a lot.
There's richness in the clues. I find, in our career practice, we talk about watching for clues. And some of the best clues come from other people who have been successful or who have learned something from their own experience. And people just don't take advantage of that. They seem shy or afraid to ask for stories or advice. And yet it's so true what you're saying. So many people do want to share that, if asked in the right way.
Well, I find that most people, just given the opportunity, will tell you about themselves. If you have two eyes, two ears, one mouth, keep the mouth closed, keep your eyes open and your ears open. It's amazing what you can learn when you go out and volunteer, but do use your mouth to ask the questions. And again, maybe you need to assuage the person's ego and to get them to tell you more. So use those. There's a perfect opportunity there. It's low cost, and it's amazing what you can come out of in a short period of time.
What are your experiences with volunteering? Give us a call here and let us know at 416-946-7000, 416-946-7000, or drop me an email, mark@careercycles. We have a few more minutes left to talk about volunteering for career development and to answer your questions or comments. Sean, your forthcoming book is called Volunteer to Be a Millionaire. Now, that's a pretty provocative title. What's behind the story there, the millionaire part?
Well, the millionaire is a gauge of success. If you mention someone, anybody being a millionaire, they're obviously gauged or thought of as being a success. So the book is all engaged around you volunteering to have success within your life. Now, there's no reason you couldn't become a millionaire, learning what you did from volunteering and taking it. And one of the key things when you do volunteer is you will come across what most people refer to as problems. Successful people will refer to those as opportunities. And that's what you will see, numerous opportunities. You keep your eyes open and your ears open, you will find them. Then you have that opportunity to solve problems. The opportunity is there. And the wealthiest people got wealthy because they solved the bigger problems, whether we knew we had them or sometimes we don't even know we have them. So there is the key there, is keep your eyes open, observe what's going on, learn everything you can. See the opportunities that are out there, because it's not just the organizations, the volunteer organizations that have these problems. A lot of businesses will have them as well. So there you have your key opportunities to make money.
Right on. Now, you were talking earlier about the many benefits of volunteering. You had named things like getting experience, especially if you don't have much and you're younger in your career, really adding to your resume, getting letters of reference. What are some other outcomes and positive aspects of volunteering for people of any age or stage?
The networking aspect is big. Whether you're just a person freshly out of school, whether you're a person in a career already and you want to further your career, you may want to expand your career, or if you're an older person that just wants to meet more people. Networking opportunities are huge within volunteering, because you're already with like-minded people. So there's a good chance you're going to have an opportunity to get along with people. You don't have to have artificial icebreakers with them. There is a natural icebreaker there. So when you're out in your own personal life and there's, say, someone you're attracted to but you don't know what to say to them, you've got that guaranteed conversation. And I think we've all come across that time in life where there's someone we really want to have a conversation with, but we get tongue-tied and afraid of making a fool of ourselves, so we don't say anything. Well, there you got the guaranteed icebreaker right there.
Right on. So build your network and meet lots of people and face-to-face people. I know we had a guest on Career Buzz a while ago who said, in the world of social networking, you meet a lot of people, you make connections through LinkedIn or Facebook. But for career development and for opportunities, he was emphasizing the huge importance of face-to-face meeting with people. And volunteering for sure is one way to do that.
Yeah, they get to know who you are on the inside, not just what you want to put down on paper or in the virtual world as it is. But you just mentioned two key things there, being the Facebook and LinkedIn. When you put down what you're doing when you're volunteering on those two things, people look at you in a whole different way. And then we go into the branding aspect. Branding is what people think of you or your product. So you brand yourself in a positive fashion that people can't think anything but positive of you, because volunteers are always thought of to be great. I approach volunteering from what can I take from it, but people keep saying thank you to me.
Right. So there's that positive perception is another good outcome. That's the fifth thing that we've been talking about in terms of the outcomes. Well, what sort of reactions do you get? You speak to high school students about volunteering and talk about all this great stuff. What sort of maybe expectations do people have that are broken when you talk to them? Do they have some notion of what volunteering is, and then you talk to them and it straightens out somehow? Well,
people approach volunteering, and not all, but a lot of, especially the high school students, approach volunteering as if it's a burden, because they're required to do the 40 hours of volunteering for their diploma at the end of grade 12. What I try and get through to them is you can do multiple things for volunteering in those 40 hours. You can find out what it is you love to do. You can test drive a job. So right there you have two great things you get to do. Finding out what your passion is in life. If you can't wait to get out of bed and go to work, that's a great career for you. Can imagine spending the next 40 years of your life not wanting to get out of bed, or as opposed to can't wait to get out of bed. You have two options there.
Or leaping out of bed, as somebody once told me they felt like on Monday morning. Now, how many listeners can say on Monday morning they want to leap out of bed?
That's right. If it's your passion, as Michael said, he just loves going to work every day. That's a great way to have success in your life. To me, that's a great, huge key to success is, are you happy with what you're doing?
Test driving a job. And that's what Michael said. Remember, he gave us the example earlier in the show about the person who loved animals and thought she might want to be a vet, and volunteered in a veterinary office and realized, no, I can't do that because I'm too emotionally connected to the animals.
As I mentioned earlier, we were told in high school, you can do anything you want, be anything you want. Well, you may think you want something. Here's the opportunity to find out if that's true or not. Rather than going and spending tens of thousands of dollars on secondary, post-secondary education and finding out it's not what you want when you're done. I was at a conference in Chicago with about 700 highly successful individuals, and I asked as many as I could, did you educate yourself appropriately for what you're doing today? And the overwhelming answer at 100% was no. So their education, I wouldn't want to say it was wasted, it may have an effect on what they're doing, but wasn't appropriate for what they're doing today.
Right. So it as we said right off the top of this show, it can give you an opportunity to either enhance your education if you already have it, or you were arguing that it could even replace, in some cases, education that may not be as fitting to the individual.
There's a lot of students that don't get straight A's. They aren't the genius, and obviously straight A's are put there for a reason. They're hard to achieve, and those that do get them are great achievers. A lot of students feel they have no future because they can't get to university or because they can't get into a college, when it's just the opposite. They could go out and get practical experience doing things and find out what it is they love to do, and their future can be a lot greater than a person that goes and gets educated and doesn't like what they're doing or can't find a job in that field even. So there's another thing you get to do. You find out whether there's actually availability in that field out there.
Right on. So, Sean Kelly, we just have a couple of minutes left in the interview here today. Now that you've had your personal experiences of working, and you had that 30-year career at Stelco, then you've been volunteering and doing all of these great talks and advocacy for volunteering, what can you share with listeners about some insights that you've had about making good career and life choices?
From volunteering, I found out that there's things I like to do and things I don't like to do. And I really enjoyed working with people one-on-one. But when it came to dealing with management and boards, that necessarily wasn't what I wanted to do. So I had to find an opportunity for myself that didn't deal directly with boards and dealt more with frontline people. This is what I like to do. So what we've done in my profession now is I'm putting together a program to help youth become successful, even if they can't get to university, or how they can enable themselves to a higher career than they thought that was possible. For the simple fact, our schools now go back to the way of the 1800s in the Industrial Revolution. Our schools still teach everybody to be the same. They're taught not to think different. They're taught to write the same resume. Everything is to be the same among students. Equality is huge among schools, and Dalton McGuinty's made sure it's that way right now. As in the Nobody's Left Behind program, well, not everybody can be the same. And what we do is we teach them how to be different, how to think differently, and how to write resumes or how to promote themselves differently than the rest.
And is that a program that you are running now in the schools?
My wife and I are putting this together right now, and we'll be coming out probably in the summertime. We're looking at doing that in the summertime.
Great. Is there a website or anything that
the website's coming up? It is called thesmartcat.com.
TheSmartCat.
Yes, .com.
Great. Sean Kelly, thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. You can find out more about me at careercycles.com. We have two other hosts of Career Buzz, Leanne Sachs